One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, transcribed, we present Chapter 7, Book 72, entitled Paul Meets the Lady in the Case. Jack Barber, father of six beautiful daughters, the oldest of whom is not quite seven, drove home tonight through a little flurry of rain and saw what looked like the fluttering of innumerable white flags in the laundry yard of his house in Seacliff, San Francisco. Putting his car in the garage, he grabbed a big two-handled basket and hurriedly took the laundry off the line. We find him now, his hat dripping with moisture, clothes basket in hand, knocking with one bent knee against the back door.
Hey, Betty! Oh, Betty! The clothes are getting wet out there.
I know, Jack. I simply haven't had time to go out and get them. How are you, darling?
I never saw so many diapers in my life.
Those are just today's. I sent the main batch to the baby laundry this morning. Put the basket on a chair. I'm making a tapioca pudding.
Backyard looked like we'd surrendered.
Looks like what?
I say all those white flags flying made it look like we'd surrendered.
Huh. Sometimes I think we have. Jack?
Yeah?
Aren't you going to take your hat off and kiss me?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Look, Mrs. Barber, don't you ever kiss a fella back anymore?
Huh? Oh, excuse me, I didn't want this tapioca to burn.
You're always so busy stirring something or washing out something or picking up something. All I get is a quick side swipe at a cool cheek.
Oh, darling, I'm sorry. Put down your face. Better?
Much better.
Poor darling, you do look tired.
Mm-hmm. So do you. Where are all the bright, shining little feminine faces?
The triplets have been fed. Mother Barbara's upstairs giving the other three their baths. I simply made Nicolette take the day off. So she's staying on in town for dinner. Excuse me, I've got to put the pudding back on the fire.
I wouldn't blame her if she never came back.
Hey, don't say things like that.
Well, I just meant these aren't her kids. There's no reason she should slave away the rest of her life around here.
But she loves the children. You just don't understand women, darling. Why do you suppose your mother comes over here all the time? We love to do things for them.
Betty, there aren't any fresh towels.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Oh, are you home, Jack?
How nice. Betty, there aren't any fresh towels upstairs.
Oh, my goodness. Jack, in that pile.
Never mind. I'll take them up.
Here, Mom, let me help.
Here, I'll take them. Go answer the phone. If it's your father, tell him I'll be home in 5 minutes.
Poor Dad. He gets lonesome quicker than any man I ever saw in my life. Hello? Oh. Well, hi, Eddie. Yeah, raining a little. Look, Ed, I just got home.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to talk to Betty yet. Huh? Yeah, well, I'm practically sure it'll be okay with her. Yeah, I'll call you back in a little while. I got your number. Okay, Eddie. In a little while. Bye.
Who was that, Jack? This is chocolate tapioca pudding. I simply couldn't think of anything else for dessert.
Oh, what's the matter with chocolate tapioca?
Oh, who was that on the phone?
Eddie Hudson from the office.
Oh, yeah, he's the one you like so much. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to push past you. Only a wise man never stands between a busy housewife and her kitchen sink.
Sure. Well, look, Betty, some of the guys around the office are getting up a bowling team.
That's nice. Why don't you wash up and help set the table? I thought with just the two of us, we'd eat in the kitchen.
Okay, Betty. Well, these guys...
Oh, there's that phone again. Honestly, it hasn't done a thing all day but ring, ring, ring. Will you answer?
I'm already on my way.
There seems to be an awful lot of people just now trying to raise money for different causes.
Hello? Oh, hi, Dad. Yeah, Mom's... Huh? Yeah, she's... Well, she said to... Yeah, I know it. I'll give her my raincoat. Yeah, she said to tell you... Yeah, okay, Dad. Oh, Mom! Hey, Mom!
Was that your father, Jack?
Yeah, he said
to you... I can guess what he said. I'll be through here in just a moment.
You better take my raincoat when you go.
I brought my own. I don't believe he thinks I have any brains at all.
Well, what I was going to tell you, they're going to have a lawyer's team in a bowling league. See, Betty?
That's nice.
There's a big new alley downtown. It's not like the ordinary pool hall or bowling alley.
We'll use the old blue dishes, Jack, just the two of us.
Okay. Well, anyway, they're going to bowl Wednesday evenings from 8 until, about maybe 10 or 10:15. We never have anything special to do on Wednesday nights, do we?
Just six children to feed and put to bed, that's all.
Yeah. Of course, there is that, but...
Honestly... I thought when we got the triplets off the formula onto solid food, everything would be easier. But I'd forgotten. It's hard enough to feed liver soup with a spoon to one child, but to three. Goodness. I don't know what I'd have done this afternoon if your mother hadn't come over. No, Jack. I said the old blue plates.
Oh.
Mother Barbara and I decided we'd just get it over with, so we fed all the children at once. Thought it'd be quieter when you got home.
Thanks.
As soon as she's tucked me in, you can go and read to them. Then I'll put on the chops, and we can have a quiet dinner by ourselves. You can use the red tablecloth. It's clean.
Oh, yeah, that does go first. Listen, Betty, I asked you a question, and you just don't bother to answer me.
Oh, I didn't hear you, Jack.
Oh, you heard me all right.
Jack, don't speak so sharply. Please, I didn't either hear you. What did you ask me?
I asked you if it'd be okay with you if I joined the bowling team Wednesdays.
You didn't either ask me that.
Well, what were we talking about? I said Eddie Hudson...
Jack, all you asked me was if we did anything special on Wednesdays, and I said no, except to feed 6 little girls and bathe them and put them in bed and read to them and get them drinks of water. That's all we do every night, 365 nights in the year.
Yeah.
So, you didn't ask me in so many words at all.
Well, maybe not, but you knew what I was driving at.
Jack, let's not quarrel.
All I'm trying to do, Betty, is get a civil answer to a simple question.
It isn't up to me to say whether you can join a bowling team or not. I'm not running your life, Jack. It's all I can do these days to run my own.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd volunteer it. I'd feel better. I thought you'd say it'd be good for me to be on a bowling team and have a night out once in a while.
I don't know why that should be so good for anybody, exercising in a smoky old bowling alley.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you. It isn't a smoky old bowling alley. It's a brand new one. It's modernistic with air conditioning and everything.
It's still a bowling alley. Oh, there's that phone again.
Gee, all I wanted was just to get your idea on the thing. I didn't expect all this from it. Hello? Oh, Dad.
Dad, tell him I'm on my way right now.
Dad, she's already started. Yeah. Okay, Dad. Yes, she really has. Goodbye.
Goodness, I can't be here over here more than 40 seconds before he starts telephoning.
Thanks for everything, Mother Barbara.
Oh, I enjoyed it, Betty.
Here's your coat, Mom.
Well, we're having casserole tonight, so I suppose your father thinks dinner isn't even started.
Night, Mom. Hey, you want me to walk over with you?
Goodness, no. You go read to your daughters. The Peter Rabbit book's at the head of the stairs.
Thanks, Mom. Good night.
Thanks a million, Mother Barbara.
I love coming over. You're such a happy young family over here. Good night.
Night, Mom.
Oh, Jack, don't look so gloomy. If you want to join that silly bowling team, go ahead.
Well, not if you feel this way about it.
I don't feel any special way about it. I don't feel at all. As a matter of fact, some nights I'm just numb all over.
Oh, golly, Betty. I'm sorry I spoke that way to you.
No, it's all right.
Gosh, Betty, you suppose when these girls are grown up and we've got them safely married off, you suppose they'll appreciate what we went through for them?
Nope.
You don't think so?
Of course not. How could they possibly understand the way of a family of their own?
Yep. A white flag of surrender. You take it and like it. Yep. Well, I'll go read about Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. Here's Eddie Hudson's number. Don't let me forget to call him after dinner.
I wish you wouldn't look so gloomy.
Hmm? Oh, I'm happy. Here, give me a kiss. Now, that's more like it. Okay, my little women. Here comes your old man, ready to read about Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter.
Oh, darn. Doggone it. He deserves a night out. Now, what did I do with that number? Oh, yeah. Hello? Hello, Mr. Hudson? This is Mrs. Jack Barber. My husband's terribly busy just now, but he wanted me to tell you he'd be there next Wednesday. You can count on him. Yeah. He'll talk to you about it tomorrow at the office.
Fanny, that you? What in the world were you doing at Jack's all afternoon? Clifford's in here. Come in the library and talk to us.
Yes, Henry, I'm coming. And while we're on the subject, must you keep phoning when I'm over there?
Hi, Mom. Welcome home.
Well, Clifford, where's Andy?
I got him upstairs in the tub.
He's been in a mud fight somewhere. You should have seen him, Fanny.
He's going to look like a new boy by dinner time.
That's fine, Clifford, but let me finish what I was saying to your father. We're busy over there, Henry, and every phone call is an interruption.
Well, it was getting late, and I thought perhaps you didn't realize what time it was.
Nonsense. You knew Mrs. Kettleman was off today, and you're afraid I'd forgotten about dinner.
Well, is that such a crime, a man wanting his dinner at a reasonable hour?
Well, the truth is, everything's arranged. Hazel and Margaret are coming to dinner, and they're bringing the dessert.
Huh?
Yes, and there's a chicken casserole in the oven. So, you see, there was nothing to worry about, Henry.
Well, what about Dan and Hank and Petey? What about the rest of the Murray family?
They're going to a hockey game tonight.
Hazel and I had everything planned. You worry needlessly.
Well, I wouldn't worry if people would keep me informed.
Well, I told you all about this at breakfast this morning. You just weren't listening. Excuse me now, and I'll see about the salad.
Kind of told off, weren't you, Dad?
Yes. But I spend a good many hours alone nowadays, Clifford. This is a big, empty house sometimes in the afternoon. What time is it now?
7 minutes after 6.
Late, you see? Late. Well, Paul should be coming along now. Where were you all afternoon, Clifford?
Oh, something went wrong with Claudia's little car. I tried to fix it. Kind of mopped up my afternoon.
Yes,
I was going to see a fellow about a job. I'll do that tomorrow.
Yes, well, I can always give you a letter to my friends on Montgomery Street, you know, Clifford, if you really want a job.
I really want a job, Dad, but I don't want to be down in the stock market district.
Yeah. I enjoyed my years down there very much. I'm sure if you would approach the work with the proper attitude...
Dad, I'm going to have to puzzle this out my own way, don't you see? I had to talk with Paul about it. He agrees.
What's going on in here?
Oh, Hazel, come on in.
Oh, good evening, my dear. I just this minute learned that you were coming to dinner. Nice to see you, Hazel. Where's Marion?
Oh, she's showing...
Let me help you with your coat.
Thanks, Cliff. She's showing her grandmother the dessert that she made over at Rex Frome's.
Huh? We're not going to have a dessert made by that French chef at Frome's.
Oh, no. Margaret made it.
Hazel, do you think it's wise to allow Margaret to run in and out of that house, making friends with people of whom we have no knowledge?
Well, I've met Monsieur Fumagalli and Mr. Frome, Father. What's wrong with them?
Yes, indeed.
Fumagalli has a family of his own. He's a nice person, Father. And he certainly excited Margaret's interest in cooking.
French chef. Who else has a French chef? That's to impress us. I wouldn't give that fellow Frome the satisfaction. Ever since he bought the old Middleton place, I haven't known a moment's peace of mind.
Father, aren't you being a little prejudiced?
Am I?
Well, I can't think why anything should make you so antagonistic.
Just wait and see. Mark my word.
And now I hear he has his sister, Mrs. Abbott, with him. Have you seen her yet, Cliff?
Yeah, I got a glimpse of her. Beautiful gal.
Really?
Knocker.
I don't want to hear about Mr. Frome or his sister, Mrs. Abbott, nor the French chef Fumagalli. I'm tired of the whole subject.
Hey, look who's coming.
Here I come with a tray full of choux à la crème.
Huh?
Well, what do you know?
Oh, careful, Margaret.
Look, Uncle Cliff, Grandfather, I made them. Choux à la crème.
Well, for goodness sake, put the tray down before you have them on the floor.
Here, right here, Margaret.
There. Thanks. Oh, Mom, Grandmother wants you in the kitchen.
Oh? Well, excuse me, gentlemen.
Don't be long.
Where did you make these?
Over in Mr. Frome's kitchen. Monsieur Fougamalie helped me, but I did it.
What did you say they were?
Choux à la crème, Grandfather.
Well, they look like ordinary cream puffs to me.
Well, that's what they are, cream puffs. Only they're very special French ones.
They sure look special, honey.
Monsieur Fougamalie, well, he's going to show me how to make some hors d'oeuvres and tart aux fraises. That's strawberry tarts.
Why don't you just say strawberry tarts?
I did in French.
Margaret, my dear, English is the most beautiful language in the whole world. One could spend a lifetime studying English and never perfect himself in it. And I don't like having you putting on airs with silly foreign phrases.
Oh, Grandfather, Monsieur Fougamalli is wonderful. Look, without him, you suppose I could have made these choux à la crème? Look at them. You didn't really look at them, Grandfather.
Yes, I did, Margaret. They're just cream puffs, my dear. Your grandmother has made them and called them cream puffs, and they've looked every bit as appetizing as these.
Grandfather, how can you say that?
Don't let these foreign-sounding words beguile you, my dear.
Grandmother said these were the prettiest cream puffs she'd ever seen.
Huh?
I'll take them back to the kitchen. Look out, Uncle Cliff.
Oh, here, let me help.
Oh, I've got them.
Now, Margaret, a cream puff is a cream puff.
All right, Grandfather, but I thought you liked them.
Dad, do you have to rub it in?
Confound that fellow, Frome. He's upset everyone in this household from the moment he arrived in town.
Hello.
You're trying to bang the door open?
Hiya, Paul, in the library.
Ah, greetings to you, Clifford, and to you, Dad.
Why will you listen to the boy? What are you so chipper about?
Just as I turned into the house, a beautiful blonde goddess went by, and she waved at me. If it's the young woman I think it was, I'm in for an exciting evening.
Frome's sister?
Well, I haven't met her yet, but she was in his convertible.
That's who it was, all right. She's a honey. I saw her earlier today.
You'll be here for dinner, Paul? Hazel and Margaret are here to eat with us.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I've got a dinner date. Frome's sister has just arrived, and he wants me to meet her.
Yes, yes.
Mom knows about it.
Paul, I realize that you're a grown man and your choice of companionship is your own affair, but don't you think that there's a possibility that you might be overdoing your visits to that household?
Well, that depends on point of view, I suppose. As far as Fulham is concerned, I don't think I have worn out my welcome.
It seems to me you're seeing him almost every night.
Well, just what are you getting at, Dan?
This goddess, I believe you called her.
Oh, he was kidding, Dan.
Well, what about her?
She's a widow, I've been told.
Yeah? Well?
Well, if you can't see the pattern, the machinations of this whole thing, then you haven't the intelligence I give you credit for.
Dad's got you marrying the gal already, Paul.
Well, this is not a joking matter, Cleaver.
Don't you think it's a little early to be worrying about somebody I haven't even met?
You're at a dangerous age, Paul. You're anything but young.
Well, you've got me there.
Exactly. And men of your years often do rash things. It's happened many times before, as you very well know.
Well, thanks, Dad, for the warning. Now I've got to run up and change. I'll be late. Do you have a minute, Cliff?
Sure. Excuse me, Dad?
Yeah, but don't be too long, Cliff. We'll be eating soon. At least I hope so.
Okay, Dad.
Oh, hello, Hazel. I heard you were here.
What's this I hear about you running out on us tonight?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, excuse me. I've got to get going. Are you coming, Cliff?
Right with you, pal. Excuse me, Hazel. I got to get the boy dressed for his party.
Yeah, acting enough like a boy.
What are you grumbling about, Father?
Acting positively giddy. Exactly the word for it. Giddy.
Paul, acting giddy?
Came into the house like an unweaned adolescent talking about a blonde goddess. I tell you, Hazel, if Paul gets involved with that family, I'll wash my hands of him.
Now, Father.
Why can't he see that she's an adventuress? That's what I don't understand.
Well, how do you know? Have you met her?
I don't have to.
That's pretty drastic, Father. Even Paul hasn't met her.
I've met her brother. We know what he is. You have only to remember his attentions to Claudia to know his character.
Well, that was over a year ago. I don't think he's even talked to Claudia since he moved here.
Because she hasn't given him the opportunity, no doubt. Now he brings his sister to see what she can do to upset our lives.
Honestly, Father, you talk as though you thought Rex Brome was a plotting scoundrel with no thought in his head except to ruin the lives of the Barbers.
And do you know that isn't the truth?
Oh, Father. Besides, why worry? Paul's pretty level-headed. He's known a lot of women, and he's never let himself get too seriously involved yet.
Yes, and meantime, that wonderful girl is slaving away over at Jack's house and eating her heart out over him.
Nicolette?
Certainly, Nicolette. But he won't marry a solid, reliable girl like that. No, he must go chasing off with a sorceress.
Father, if you recall, you didn't have much use for Nicolette when you first met her, either.
Well, because I was wrong once doesn't mean I'm wrong always.
All right, all right. Don't get yourself all upset just before dinner.
Yes, what's Clifford doing up there anyway? Why doesn't he come down? We'll be eating very soon.
He said he was going to help Paul get ready.
Well, isn't Paul old enough to dress himself? It's exactly what I told you. Your older brother's acting exactly like a newly hatched adolescent going on his first date.
Hey, come here a minute, Cliff. Take a look at these suits, huh? Which one do you think I ought to wear, huh? This blue serge?
Gosh, that's awful conservative, Paul.
Yeah. How about this one? A bit worn, isn't it?
Yeah, haven't you got anything newer than that?
What you can see is the extent of my wardrobe.
Well, here, what's this one like? Let me get it out.
That's too light for dinner, huh? A little too summery?
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right. Doesn't seem to be anything else except these two tweeds. They won't do.
No.
Got some nice dress clothes here. Why don't you put on your tails? You look swell enough.
Remember Jack's first date when he went out and rented the tails and the girl closed the door in his face?
Yeah. I guess you better not wear the tails.
Yeah. Hey, when you come right down to it, my wardrobe isn't any too hot.
Why don't you get some new clothes? Get something with a little snap in it. How come you let your wardrobe run down?
Got other things on my mind, I guess. Well, this ain't going to help me tonight. Guess I'll have to wear the blue serge after all.
Yeah, it sure looks like it. I'll get it out and brush it up for you.
Oh, thanks, Flip. I'll get my shirt on. A plain white one, I think.
Hey, you really are buzzing tonight.
Does it show?
Like a neon light. What's this babe got? She's got you turning handsprings before you even meet her.
I'll tell you something if it'll go no further.
You know what?
I've got a feeling that I'm Destiny's child tonight.
You what?
Yep. Destiny's got me by the hand tonight. I feel it in my bones.
Well, that's a new one.
Oh. Well, you get it, Cliff.
Yeah. Hello, City Laundry. We fray shirts. Huh? Who said that? Oh, no, this is Cliff.
Who is it?
Oh, hi, Nicolette. Yeah. Yeah, he's right here. You didn't like my little joke, huh? Okay, here he is. Nicolette.
Thanks. Hi, Nicolette. Yeah, it's quite a comedian I have up here with me, eh? Hey, Cliff, will you pick out a tie to go with that blue suit? Oh, what's that? How about a plain dark red one?
Yeah, I'll find something.
You did what, Nicolette? Oh, a new book. Oh, were you downtown this afternoon?
Hey, how's this one?
Good. Hey, I'm going to be late. Yes. Yes, I'm anxious to see it, Nicolette. Well, I can't tonight, no. I'll tell you what, though. Let me call you tomorrow, huh? How'll I be? Yeah. All right. Good night. Nicolette got a new book she wanted me to see.
What's the matter? Did he get you down a little talking to her when you're going out with another girl?
I guess it did a little. Well, what the heck am I worrying about? Are we going out to dinner? What's wrong with that?
You see, Paul, I was right. My sister not only has a sense of humor, but she's witty, too.
Oh, really? Now, Rex, am I supposed to live up to all of your extravagant claims?
Well, you've done very well so far. I don't think they're extravagant.
For that, you are eligible for more dessert. Would you like some?
Oh, no. No, thanks, really.
Well, let's have coffee in the library, Rex. This dining room's too formal.
All right, Chris. What do you think of that, Paul? I spent a fortune on this place, and she keeps telling me it's too this or too that.
Well, it is. But we'll argue that out when we're alone. You men go on in. I'll bring in the coffee.
You don't have to do that. Haven't we enough help?
Enough? That's the point. I'm not used to help. They make me uncomfortable. Now, you go on. Go on in the library, and I'll be in shortly with our coffee. I'll go out to the kitchen and see if it's made yet.
Chris, of course it's made. You don't have to go to the kitchen.
No, Mr. Barber, I don't have to go to the kitchen. I think that's what Rex is trying to get over.
What can you do with a sister like that?
Well, who are you trying to impress? My goodness, Mr. Barber knew us when we were the two little Freddish kids, remember?
Well...
You don't have to answer that. Purely a rhetorical question.
Well, we've had our orders, Paul. Shall we go ahead?
Yeah, well, I think we'd better. She doesn't look like the kind of woman it's safe to cross. Come along, through this way.
I won't be long.
You know, if I eat like this every night, it wouldn't be long before I developed a paunch.
Yes, I thought it was a good dinner. I told for McGalee to let himself go. He apparently did.
Well, I suppose it's all right to give him his head occasionally.
Right in here, Paul.
Huh? Oh, yes, I forgot we were going in the library.
I don't know where I was headed. Not for home, I hope. Sit there.
It's comfortable. Yeah, your sister was right. This is much better.
She was of that.
Well, you've added several new books since I was here last.
Yes. Say, I want you to go with me next time I go to the bookstore. You can help me with my plans to round out my library.
Oh, I'd enjoy it. I don't know a better way of putting in an afternoon than in a bookshop.
You had a book or two published yourself, didn't you?
We won't talk about that.
Why? Were they that bad?
Public reaction is the criterion.
Didn't sell her?
No. You know, every time I go by a second-hand bookstore, I always take a furtive glance at those bargains they have out in front. You know those stacks of new books piled up just outside the door?
Cut down to 10 cents or so.
Sure.
You're always looking for copies of your book out there, is that it?
Exactly. You know, the other day I stopped by a second-hand bookstore, and I saw what I think would be the most humiliating sight possible for an author to behold. There was a great pile of this one author's book, all new, right by the entrance. The sign on the books read, 17 cents each. Excellent for doorstop.
Isn't that awful?
That would be hard to take, all right.
Chris would probably be inside buying up the lot just to save the author's face. How do you like her, by the way?
When you first told me about her, I was inclined to discount everything you said as pure brotherly enthusiasm. Now I think you didn't have to do her justice. She's really quite wonderful, isn't she?
Oh, I'm glad you like her. You'd have disappointed me if you hadn't. By the way, you knew her husband was also a concert pianist.
Well, no, I didn't.
Yeah, that is, he had been. He was killed in an auto accident about a year ago. He was decent enough when Chris married him, but he turned into a no-good bum. Too much bottle.
Oh.
When they were married, they were both very talented pianists. Chris went on studying, but he just sort of gave up and finally started playing with a dance band. He was playing one-night stands in Texas, and That is when he was killed. I've been trying to get Chris to come and live with me ever since it happened. When I got this place, she finally agreed, for a time at least.
Well, then she doesn't plan to stay here permanently?
Well, that depends. You see, she wants to go on with her piano. You must get her to play for you. She's darn good.
Who is?
Oh, here. Let me help you with that.
Thank you. Oh, how about putting it right here on this coffee table? Hmm?
Fine.
Mmm, smells like good coffee.
I got a few ugly looks from some of the help, but I think I've got it the way you like it, Rex. Try this, Mr. Barber.
No, it looks perfect.
Want anything in it?
Oh, nothing, thank you.
Well, Rex tells me you do a lot of flying and all sorts of things down at the airport.
Yes, I have flying school, among other activities.
Mm. Your coffee, Rex.
Oh, thanks.
You've been telling me about your piano playing.
Oh, I'm terribly rusty. I've got to get in and practice like mad now. Do you play anything, Mr. Barber? Look, why don't you ask me to call you Paul? I hate all this formality.
Well, I was waiting for you to ask me to call you Chris.
Oh, should I have done that first? What does the book say? No matter, I think you're right. Please call me Chris.
Thank you.
But not Christine. She hates that.
Well, I'm not so mad about Chris either, but I think we've done enough name-changing in this family. I doubt if I'll ever really get used to Rex Frome. Is Furnish such a terrible name, really, do you think?
Are you asking me?
Of course, it's no use asking Rex. We know what he thought of it, or he wouldn't have changed it.
You changed yours to Abbott.
Oh, yes. The marriage did that, silly.
But supposing you hadn't married?
Then I wouldn't be a widow. Isn't this stimulating, Paul? Oh, yes, that's much better than Mr. Barber. It's natural, easy. I like to feel comfortable around people. Do you?
Yes, I do. And I want to pay you the very high compliment of saying that you have a charming way of making other people feel comfortable. To me, that's high art.
Don't encourage her too much, or she'll go put on her slippers.
Oh, my feet feel wonderful. You see, I had my shoes off all through dinner. You know, I did that once at a dinner party, and somebody accidentally kicked them out of my reach. And when it was time to get up, I felt around with my toes, and I couldn't find them.
What did you do?
Well, I apologized to the hostess and said she'd have to forgive me while I crawled under the table to find my shoe. Everybody laughed. It seemed to relieve the tension.
What chance have I, Paul? Here I'm trying to establish myself as a gentleman in this community. My sister comes along and does it all for me. Taking your shoes off at the dinner table.
Well, there's been many a time when I wished I could do that.
There, you see. Paul understands me.
You do, Paul?
Well, does any man ever understand a woman?
Oh, goodness, what that does to a woman's ego. Mysterious, enigmatic, haunting riddles to puzzle men. Is that what you're implying we are, Paul?
Well, you say it very well.
You say it very well. I like it.
And I might add, Paul, what my sister likes, she likes wholeheartedly, without restraint.
You've just heard Chapter 7, Book 72 of One Man's Family, written, produced, and transcribed under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 8, entitled The Dinner That Was Interrupted, will come to you next week at this same time. You want the best Sunday listening, so today and every Sunday, listen to NBC for top comedy entertainment on the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. And then stay tuned for the adventures of Sam Spade and be entertained with an exciting and humorous caper. For the best Sunday listening, stay tuned to NBC. One Man's Family comes to you from California.
Now stay tuned for the Quiz Kids on NBC.